What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And we're going to close the phone lines for a little bit here. Joining us right now is Leon Hsu, Minister for Foreign Affairs for the Kingdom of Hawaii. And Leon, I wanted to get you back on the show because we're starting to see this whole issue of sovereignty and independence being brought up again by events in South Africa, events in Crimea. And so I think it was time for our people to have an update. But before we do that, you're calling us from Hilo, correct?
No, actually, I'm presently in Honolulu again. I was in Hilo yesterday.
Ah, I was just going to ask if you could see the smoke and everything from the volcano from where you
were. Oh, yes. Well, I could when I was over there, yes. But you can see it from a good part of the island because it's pretty prominent. It's right out there, you know, one of the tip of the islands.
Let's get back to business here. And for the benefit of our listeners, what we're talking about here is the fact that Hawaii's statehood is not legitimate. There was a lot of skullduggery that attended that. And do you want to give them a quick overview of the history of Hawaii?
Sure. Okay, very quickly, the United States at one point coveted Hawaii for its military position, for its strategic position as a military base, primarily Pearl Harbor. And at the same time, the American sugar planters, who had large sugar plantations in Hawaii, were wanting to have an open market to their sugar in the United States. They had enjoyed really quite a boom in their industry during the Civil War. But after the Civil War ended, the southern states came back online and the sugar prices started to plummet. So they thought that it would be best to be able to continue their sugar operations by annexing the Hawaiian Kingdom to the United States, thus it being a local product, and they would get high sugar prices. So that the two sides colluded, and they devised a way to overthrow the Hawaiian Kingdom, or at least to depose the queen and the government of the Hawaiian Kingdom. And so that came into being in 1893 when they moved on that plan. So with the United States collusion by landing troops in Hawaii, the sugar planters and their cohorts seized the government from the queen. The queen, recognizing that this was an entirely illegal act, stood down and said she was not going to provoke the U.S. to open warfare. So she basically filed diplomatic protests, which were actually successful because within 9 months, the U.S. Basically denounced the actions by the military and by the foreign minister in Hawaii and said that the United States had acted totally unlawfully and that they were now obligated to return the Hawaiian Kingdom back to its proper and lawful governance. They didn't do so. A new president came in, and they decided they really wanted Hawaii, and the Spanish-American War broke out. Although the U.S. had failed twice in trying to annex the Hawaiian Islands because it was illegal, but the Spanish-American War broke out, and under military necessity, President Cleveland declared that that the Hawaiian Kingdom would be part of the war effort. So they actually mobilized Pearl Harbor and a bunch of other military installations here in Hawaii. And of course, war with Spain was over in just a month or so. But then the Filipinos, who thought they were liberated, found out that the United States intended to keep the Philippines as their colony, as a U.S. colony. So the Filipinos got a liberation movement going, and so they fought the United States for another 4 or 5 years. And the United States then saw the necessity for this military base in Hawaii where they shipped their troops through. So all in all, over 10,000 troops were shipped to the Philippines through ports in Hawaii. And of course, all the support from the Navy came through Hawaii as well. So that particular war cost the United States something like 5,000 lives of the United States military, but it cost the Filipinos well over 200,000 lives. And so it was a bloody war, and it's a war, it's a hidden war. People don't talk about it. But Hawaii played a key role in it. And so after that Filipino war, the United States just decided never to leave Hawaii. And so they simply passed some bogus legislation in Congress and kept Hawaii. And that's where we are.
Well, yeah, and but let us not forget what happened where Bill Clinton actually signed a public law that acknowledged the Hawaiian people never gave up their sovereignty. It was public law 103-150.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
signed,
correct.
In 1993. And a lot of the Hawaiian people said, well, they're recognizing that this is still our nation, and it caused a great deal of confusion because there were some people who wanted to go back to the pre-annexation land titles, and it really messed up the courts. Now, why don't you tell everybody what it is that you do specifically for the Kingdom of Hawaii, and I'm going to preen you a little bit here by reminding everybody that you were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, so that's one of the nominations I agree with on that. So tell us what you're doing for the Kingdom of Hawaii. What's the latest news on getting the rest of the world to acknowledge the injustice that's been done to the Hawaiian people?
Well, actually, that's my mission, is to get the rest of the world to acknowledge or to at least be aware of the injustice. And so over the last, I've been the Minister of Foreign Affairs for the last 18 years. And over the last 12 years, we've really made a lot of progress, starting with total ignorance. About 12 years ago, or at least feigned ignorance, to where many of the people that I've been in contact with. So I travel often. I travel to foreign states as well as to Geneva and to New York, where the United Nations, where the people from the United Nations gather for the United Nations. And there I have access to all of the countries of the world. And so I've been using that opportunity to speak whenever I can at these venues. And I've been gaining a lot of interest initially, and now beginning to turn into support. And the support is, of course, still measured because people are leery of confronting the United States directly. So, but they have said, if you can find a way that we can help you without directly confronting the United States, then we'll consider helping you. So this is where we're at, and I'm very excited because in the last 2 years, and particularly in the last few months, we've really gotten to the point where these countries are seriously considering helping us because we found various procedural things that they could do that would actually assist us greatly by pointing out certain inconsistencies and violations by the United States regarding their obligations to international law and to the United Nations Charter. So what we're trying to do is have these countries bring the United States to account for their behavior toward the Hawaiian Kingdom according to the standards set up by the UN Charter. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what's happening. Now, we've had some breakthroughs in that there have been a couple of communications that have been issued by experts within the United Nations that support our contention that the Hawaiian Kingdom still exists and that the United States is under some form of illegal occupation, and that they need to, at this point, the United States needs to change its position and be that of an occupier, which then comes under international law as to how it can govern the Hawaiian Islands in an interim situation, so that the Hawaiian Islands would then be able to govern themselves ourselves. So that's where we're at right now.
All righty. Well, I mean, I've been following this issue since before Claire and I even moved here to Hawaii. When I was still living in Southern California, I became aware of this issue of Hawaiian sovereignty and how the U.S. government basically cheated the people of Hawaii out of their nation. And it's certainly not something that you know, people are comfortable with. There are voices saying a great wrong has been done, and it has to be undone. And there are other voices saying, well, it's so long in the past, there's really no recourse and everything. But interestingly enough, I've seen some videos that have been out on YouTube, one of them called Honest Government Advert. I have it at the bottom of my own page on the Hawaii issue, which is up in that little gray menu at the top of my page. And it's very funny, talking about basically Hawaii's not a state. It's the longest running U.S. military occupation. So people are starting to take note, and they're paying attention. And especially as they start to lose their blinders, as you will, and look at how the United States is treating other countries, looking at how Israel treats Palestine, people aren't ready to just blindly assume that anything the U.S. government has done in history has been on the up and up. And so I think more and more people... Go ahead.
Yeah, quite the contrary. People are suspicious of everything the U.S. does now, you know, because of this this pattern of behavior. In fact, there was a book written in 2006 by Stephen Kinzer, who was over here, by the way, just a couple of months ago. And his book is called Overthrow, and it basically, I think the subtitle is American Regime Changed from Hawaii to Iraq.
You know, yes,
and basically he says that in Hawaii, that Hawaii set the pattern, or the U.S. used Hawaii as the template for how they disrupted governments internationally. And it's been going on ever since. And so now we're trying to break that pattern, or at least expose it.
Well, the pattern's pretty much exposed. There's a website called Third World Traveler, and they just have a list of the 50 times that, over 50 times, the United States government has tried to regime change other countries since the end of World War II. Not always successful. In fact, they're batting about 500. But we're seeing that same pattern being applied to all these other countries. It's not always working. It obviously did not work in Syria. Doesn't seem to be working in Afghanistan. And I think my personal opinion is that the United States government is currently showing a lot of the same symptoms or behaviors that we saw in the former Soviet Union just before it collapsed. And when you couple that with our economic realities, I think that we could see a serious reset or upset in the United States. And at that point, there might be more latitude for the Kingdom of Hawaii to basically go to the world and say, you know, it's time for us to get back our heritage.
Yes, yes, yeah, and our freedom, the right to govern ourselves and to make our own decisions and not to be dragged into the controversies and the wars of the United States. You know, the North Korea incident, you know, is one of those things that exemplifies that, where, you know, we would have been attacked by North Korea simply because the United States has their military bases here, not because of anything that Hawaii has done. So we're put into grave danger by the United States presence in Hawaii. And, of course, we saw that played out in World War II, or at the beginning of World War II with the attack from Japan. You know, that was not an act of aggression against the Hawaiian people. It was against the United States military bases. And so we're saying that not only have they harmed us from the standpoint of depriving us of our resources and our lands and our ability to govern ourselves, but they are putting us in grave danger of being annihilated now by nuclear arms. So,
yeah, and that would be true whether it was... I was going to say that would be true whether it was North Korea or Russia or China. We're being put in harm's way.
Yes, yeah. In grave danger. And you live in Aiea, so you're right there at the big red X, Pearl Harbor.
Yes, I am. And, of course, we got to see fireworks there during RIMPAC on July 4th here.
Yeah.
Were you here when that ridiculous ballistic missile message came in?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. I still don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, the funny thing is that it was a terrible experience for everybody, but my cell phone where I live, I don't have very good service on my cell phone, and so I only caught a very smidgen of the text that went out, and so I just continued working. I just saw alert, and it was blink, blink. I listened for the sirens. I didn't hear anything, so I just continued going on with my work, and it was, you know, hours later that I found out everybody was panicking, you know, and it was a big wake up call to a lot of the people here.
Yeah, it underscores the fact that we're all collateral damage if the U.S. really does go to war here in the Pacific, and we're seeing this buildup of tension. Not just against North Korea, but against all of China, because the U.S. wants to keep China basically isolated along the Pacific coast. They don't want China projecting power out into the Pacific, which is why they're making a big stink over those islands in the South China Sea.
Right, right. And basically China is saying, well, look at you in Hawaii. You're talking about us. 200 miles from our shores. Look at you, 2,000 miles from your shores with Hawaii.
We're a little out there. Actually, we're going to go ahead and start taking phone calls. We've got a caller, Bill in Texas, and it looks like he's got an interesting question. Bill, welcome to the show.
All right.
And what do you have for Leon?
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how long would Hawaii remain independent of China? Would it be in minutes or seconds if the U.S. wasn't there?
Well, that's interesting because I look around the world and there are many, many countries that are independent and are doing quite well on their own. So the idea of the Cold War mentality of another country coming in and taking over is actually something of the past because we don't see that anymore. In fact, it's been a total reversal since the establishment of the United Nations with the decolonization process where these countries and hegemonies were broken up. So,
The Chinese plan to take over Taiwan was leaked in 2013. They're planning a full blitz. Now, Hawaii
That's a different situation because China views Taiwan as part of their nation while Taiwan wants to be independent. China has no claim over Hawaii. They don't claim that Hawaii is part of the Chinese empire, if you will. So the two are really not conflicting. Anyway, Bill, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. And a lot of people are going to say, what will happen to Hawaii if the U.S. government just packs up one day and goes away? What would happen to Hawaii? Obviously, there would be a lot of countries interested in making use of portions of our island. But it's going to be a lot easier to just do it economically than to try and come on in and take it over. If Hawaii
That's
is not
correct.
Presenting a threat to anybody, let's not make war. Let's do business.
Yeah, exactly. And the age of conquest in order to take resources or to do business is pretty much over. And the entire world is very sensitized about that. Like I said, most of the countries that exist today existed as colonies in the past and are now free independent countries. They're very, very sensitive to the fact of one country taking over another one in a colonial way, so the whole mood of international mood is that you can't do that anymore, and that's changed. The laws have changed, etc. Yeah.
Okay, we have to take a break for commercials, and it's 3 minutes long, and we'll be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking with Leon Hsu, who's the Minister for Foreign Affairs for the Kingdom of Hawaii. We're talking about the fact that Hawaii's acquisition by the United States is riddled with all kinds of problems. And from a perfectly legal point of view, the Kingdom of Hawaii never really went away. And Bill Clinton in 1993 signed a public law apologizing for the annexation and acknowledging the Hawaiian people never surrendered their sovereignty. So he's out there saying, you know, right. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry we took your country. I feel really bad. We're not giving it back, but I feel really bad. So that's what's going right. on. Now, Leon, I want to take a comment you made where you said that colonialism as a model is dead, and I beg to disagree.
Well, no. I take that back because I know that colonialism is rampant, and just the whole global system is a colonial system. What I'm saying is that overrunning countries in the way that they used to by conquest, that part is not as not.
That is true.
Looked upon
that is true.
Very kindly anymore. Yeah. But colonialism is rampant, of course, through economics and through the global system. I mean, it's worse than ever.
And well, it's also regime change. I mean, a good example of that would be Iran back in 1953, where the U.S. didn't invade Iran. They simply went in and overthrew the government of Mohammad Mossadegh and installed the Shah, who lasted until 1979 when the Iranian people gave him the heave-ho. Yeah.
Right.
So that kind of covert colonialism is still very much at large. And again, it's all about resources. Right. So, but well, here in Hawaii. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, one of the things that will mitigate that for us is that is knowledge. If people know about what happened here, people know about our struggle to regain our status as an independent state, and if people know that, and people do love us here in Hawaii, so we have already the sympathy of the world toward us. And if they know about this, nobody's going to really come and take over after the United States leaves. Especially if we are successful in creating a vibrant young country, or continuing our country in a vibrant way, and in an independent way, you know, not the lapdog or puppet of anybody else. And I think that we will be able to survive quite well.
I agree with you on that, and for a very simple reason. Hawaii, in terms of resources, we've got lava, lots of that, and of course we have pineapple, which are just not worth invading over. Now, the reason the U.S. originally stole Hawaii was Pearl Harbor and having the unsinkable battleship Hawaii projecting power into the Pacific. But in the age of hypersonic transatmospheric missiles, the necessity for a fixed naval base, it just really isn't there anymore. And in any event, the U.S. Now forward bases pretty much everything over to Guam. So the motive for grabbing Hawaii doesn't exist anymore. I think the other countries of the world are going to say it's going to be much more profitable and beneficial just to do business, get the tourism back up again, and just turn this place back to what its public image used to be. But I really think Hawaii will do quite well on its own. And not a lot will really change. The new incoming kingdom will be well motivated not to cause a lot of upset within the general population, unlike that new president of South Africa who's just thrown a monkey wrench into everything down there.
So, yes, so I think we will do quite well. And if we look at the conditions of things in the world today and at the potential for Hawaii to regain its place as an international trading center. You know, basically that's what it was at one point. We had diplomatic legations in over 90 locations around the world, with consulates and embassies. And those were trade embassies and trade consulates. And so to maintain all of these types of things, and so we had a great relationship. We were highly... we participated in a very high level in international discourse and things like that, so that we can return to that position of being a full participant, but a peaceful one, and one that promotes peace, promotes aloha, for which we're known as well. So I think we have a very rosy future for us if we are responsible and we do what we need to do.
I absolutely agree. And I've been a big supporter of this whole idea, like I said, since before Claire and I even moved here, because, okay, I'm sorry, I'm having to respond to the control room. All right, we're coming up on another commercial break here. This one's going to be about 4 minutes long, and apparently we have a caller on the line that wants to talk to you about something off of Maui. So we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you've got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Leon Hsu, the Minister for Foreign Affairs for the Kingdom of Hawaii. And I'm looking at my email, and I'm already getting some comments about what's going on. One I wish to read on the air. Current guest and idiot caller, he handled that very well. The last thing anyone needs is more fear. And the idea that the U.S. is there to protect Hawaii is, in my opinion, pure idiocy. And it was obvious this guy had an agenda. He's pushing the be afraid of China situation. And we have a caller waiting on the line. Eric in Nebraska. Aloha, Eric. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha to both of you. I profess I don't know much about Hawaiian history. And I didn't know much about Cuba until I watched the Cuba Libre documentary on Netflix. Could you recommend any documentaries on Hawaiian history?
Well, yeah. If you go to my website, up near the top, underneath my picture, there's a link to permanent articles, and there's one about Hawaii that has all kinds of pictures. And down at the bottom, there are some documentaries, including Hawaii's Last Queen. Which is a very good retelling. Leon, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yes. Actually, yeah, there are several good documentaries that have been made. One is called An Act of War. You can go ahead and Google that as well, An Act of War. Then another one that was actually done by the History Channel called The Conquest of Hawaii. And that has a lot much longer, broader history, but it puts things into pretty good perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. The comment I wanted to make about was about the Carthaginian. Do you know how that came to rest off of Maui? The reason I'm asking.
Well, I can take the answer to that one. It used to be moored at Lahaina, and it was kind of like this decoration, and it reached a point of decay where they decided that it might be better to use that dock space for something else. So they basically towed it on out and scuttled it to turn it into an artificial reef, and now the dive touring boats basically go out to it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the reason is because that was laid down in Germany between the World Wars, and that ship was limited to only 100 horsepower because of the Versailles Treaty. Thanks a lot for the comments. Mm-hmm. I really like your guest today, and aloha to both of you.
All right, aloha. Thanks an awful lot. Aloha. Okay, so, getting on back to the situation here in Hawaii. One of the other arguments that I've often heard is that if Hawaii were to win back its independence from the U.S. government, mm-hmm. that Hawaiians would be obligated to compensate the U.S. government for all the improvements on the island. In other words, you're all going to have to go back to living in grass huts, which isn't bad. I got to do that down in Fiji. But here's my analogy from that. If somebody steals your car, and while it is in their possession, they put a brand new stereo in it and chrome rims and really nice tires and a bunch of other stuff, and then the police catch them, are you obligated to pay that car thief for those improvements? No, you're not, because he didn't put them in there for your benefit. He put them in for his benefit.
Correct. And yes. And then in Hawaii, of course, this is, besides it, it's been an illegal occupation for all of these years. Well, actually, it's actually been a criminal enterprise, not even rising to the point of an occupation. But let's say it's an illegal occupation. Then they owe us the money for using our resources and disrupting our lives and basically stealing our identities and all these types of things. So any reparations that comes out of this, it's actually favorable toward us. We have, in fact, put together a very large bill that we will present and probably will forgive if we get our country back.
Okay.
We'll maintain everything. You know, we'll retain all of the infrastructure and all the good stuff. We'll take out the bad junk, you know, that they put in here. But we'll retain all the good things. These military bases would make wonderful housing areas for our people. They're like turnkey cities, you know. And we have a serious homeless situation and a serious housing situation here in Hawaii that could be solved by these military bases being vacated and returned back to the Hawaiian Kingdom. All of those lands that those bases sit on are Hawaiian Kingdom lands. All of the territory of Hawaii, as you said, we never surrendered any of not only our sovereignty, but our territory, our lands. They're all part of the Hawaiian Kingdom still. And so it's really a matter of going back and reassessing and realigning the true ownership of these lands and continuing on from there. So I see it mainly as a change of management rather than a drastic change of
I would agree. I said before, the Kingdom of Hawaii would be well motivated not to cause any social disruptions. And so basically the only thing that would change would be the faces on the currency and the flag on the mast. And other than that, life would go on. One positive advantage we would have is that we would no longer have TSA acting as an impediment on our tourism in the airports.
Right.
Getting on back to the military bases, I agree with that. I've looked at them all in Google Earth, and I find it amazing that on an island, every major military base has its own golf course. And to talk about an arrogant display of land grabbing, that is.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, on the island of Oahu, the military controls 22% of the island. It's all military use. And so to get that back would be just incredible. By the way, the U.S. has signaled a number of times over the last 15 years or so that they actually, these bases here are actually, as you had expressed earlier, with this newfangled way of doing war, with this high-tech war, they actually, these bases that they have here are pretty antiquated. They can't really use these. And so there's been some proposals made by the Pentagon for shutting down key bases here in Hawaii over the years. Of course, the community, the state of Hawaii, as well as Dan Inouye at the time and other Senator Dan Inouye, fought it vehemently. But they actually at one time proposed closing down Pearl Harbor because it was seen as not being necessary. And then, of course, a few years ago, there was a big proposal to close down two Army bases here, which again was fought by the powers that be that are in control here. But the thing is, if the military has been looking at the practical uses of the bases that they have here, and they've been found that they're replaceable or expendable. They don't need them.
And yes.
So they're just kind of being kept for almost just for for image purposes.
Yeah, image and tradition. And also the money Pearl Harbor and the military bases mean there's a lot of U.S. money coming in through those bases, which then goes out into the local economy. And I'm sure that's why our state government is certainly going to fight tooth and nail against losing any more of those facilities. I remember a few years back when they were trying very hard to get an aircraft carrier permanently stationed here, because that would have meant, much increase in money.
Yes, but actually when you study it, and we did so during the proposal to shut down the two Army bases, we studied the net contribution by the United States with those bases, and we found actually that they did not contribute any kind of sizable net gain to the people of Hawaii. In fact, in many cases, they were actually a burden to the people. Because they did not contribute that much to the economy. They put a tremendous strain on our housing and things like that. They're the ones that helped to create the housing crisis here in Hawaii, because they're paying federal money to rent houses at three times the price that a local family could afford. You know.
Yes.
So these types of things have been were taken into account, and when you factor all of that in, they actually have been a detriment to our economy. It just the image or the perception is that they're bringing in money, but they actually are not. We're spending more money hosting them.
I stand corrected on that issue. Well, there's another aspect of that as well, and that is the environmental damage. And a lot of people here in Hawaii are very concerned about the environment because we are on an island. Our ecology is very delicate. A lot of the birds that used to call Hawaii home have gone extinct. And so we're very sensitive to the issue of pollution. We're sensitive to the issue of GMOs and other chemicals. And the fact of the matter is that the military has a bad habit of dumping all kinds of nasty chemicals all over the ground in all kinds of places. There's still one area down on the Big Island that is permanently fenced.
And in the water.
And in the water. There's this one area down on the Big Island where they used it to test Agent Orange. You remember that from Vietnam. That was actually developed at UH Manoa. And you still can't go in there all these years later.
Yeah.
And you're right about dumping stuff in the water. There's a lot of unexploded munitions down there. And if you look at the mariner's charts, the professional ones, not the tourist maps, you'll see these little areas marked out saying no drag netting here, because they don't want you catching your net on something that might go bang.
Or might gush out into the ocean. They got chemical weapons and things like that buried, sunk in there. Now, for instance, Pearl Harbor, the reason it was called Pearl Harbor is because it was a very, very productive place. It had fish ponds all around it, and it had oysters. that produce yes. pearls. You can't find a single oyster in Pearl Harbor anymore. And,
no,
and
you
that's
can't.
Been quite a while. Yeah, because of the pollution no. that's gone on from
yeah,
the
Claire and I go down to this little
harbor.
Park that's right on the edge. We walk along. We can just see how polluted the water is from whatever's coming out of all those ships. But I'm familiar
yes.
with the origin of Pearl Harbor. It's a mess. It's absolutely a mess.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the great thing is that nature is able to regenerate itself if you give it a chance. And look at the Hudson River.
True.
You know, places like that. So we can do this. We can reclaim as well as regenerate our resources around our islands that have been badly damaged. I believe we can bring them all back and we can make this place productive and alive again.
Well, that's something I would certainly like to see happen. There's no question right now that the entire world is in a very dangerous time in history. There seem to be way too many world leaders who think a new war is their best option to solve whatever their particular problems are, whether it's a collapsing economy, the population not obeying them. And I am very, very concerned about what's going to happen to the world and to Hawaii if this thing does get out of hand. And as I said, that bogus ballistic missile alert was a wake-up call for a lot of people. And I, like you, the alert came on in. And I listened for the sirens, and there weren't any sirens. And at that point, I said, there's something wrong with this. And then, of course, an hour later, they came on out and said, there is no missile. So we still don't really know how that came about or why there was a similar incident in Japan just 2 days later. So something was going on, and we'll find out about that. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners here? We're coming up to the top of the hour.
Well, just that we've had some breakthroughs in the last few days. And there was a filing that was made by one of our people, which basically is a filing demand that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, invoke the laws of occupation and change the way that Hawaii is governed into an occupation government, meaning that an occupation government has to administer the laws of the place that they're occupying, meaning they would have to impose or start administering, instead of U.S. laws in the Hawaiian Islands, they would have to impose or start administering Hawaiian Kingdom laws, which are still on the books and quite adequate to manage ourselves. And they have to administer it until such time that the Hawaiian Kingdom is ready to take over its own governance. And so this is a major breakthrough that the president is being confronted right now. And, of course, he has a choice as to whether to do it or not. But the thing is, what we're saying is that you are obligated under the international laws to administer the laws of the Hawaiian Kingdom here in the Hawaiian Islands. And let's start with that. So we'll see how that goes, but it was a major action being taken, and it was triggered by a lot of the work that I had done in the United Nations by getting countries on board. This is one of the things that they said that they would back, you know, that if we would go ahead and start pushing the president to obey international laws, for the U.S. to obey international laws, then they could support something like that.
Well, you may run into a little bit of a problem with the Fourth Convention, which says that an occupying power may not transfer their citizens to the occupied territories. that might interfere with tourism. But I think citing the example of how Israel manages its occupied territories with complete disregard for the local law. It sounds good. I'd like to see it happen. I don't think we're going to get there. I think Trump is going to say, well, that's, you know, not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I hate to be a pessimist about it, but
no,
go ahead.
We're not counting on them making it happen. We're counting on this being brought in front of the world community and say, see, this is what needs to happen, and then we can work on it happening in the future. But I don't think, I like you, I don't think the president's going to really do anything about it. But we're getting it out there, and we're giving them proposals on how they can help solve this. Because behind all of this, what we're going to do is push for a peace treaty with the United States and start to negotiate that. Yeah.
Well, you've got a tremendous advantage regarding a peace treaty, and that is those military bases, which the U.S. Is going to want to still have access to, because if they don't want them, mm-hmm. other people will. And anyway, we got to take one more commercial break here. It's going to last 3 minutes long. Then we're going to have the final segment of our show. So we'll be right back.
All right. All right.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Leon Hsu, the Minister for Foreign Affairs for the Kingdom of Hawaii. And before we run out of time, Leon, where can people go on the web to learn more about what you are doing?
Okay. You can go to HawaiianKingdom.net. Very simple.
Okay.
HawaiianKingdom.net. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm going to put up a link to that
Right
now.
Right.
Okay, so we got about another 3 minutes. If there's anything you'd like to wrap up for our listeners.
Well, just that we are very, very encouraged and optimistic about the ability for us to restore and to reactivate our nation. I just got back from the Big Island, and there's a lot of people there who are onto it, and people doing their homework and learning who they are. And so our biggest task right now, I'm in foreign affairs, so I'm talking to other countries, but locally our biggest task is for our own people to be able to reclaim their identity and in a safe way. Most people would like to, but it's not quite safe right yet because you can get arrested for minor infractions like driver's licenses and things like that. And many of our people do, and they end up in jail because they're insisting that they're driving lawfully in their own country and not in the United States. So this is quite kind of an interesting challenge that's been going on. But the thing is, more people are becoming aware of the situation locally and are starting to motivate themselves and their communities to stand together and to become the country again, to really just reactivate the country with their bodies and with their thoughts and with their goodwill.
Well, Leon, thank you very much here. And I put up a link to the Hawaii Kingdom .net from my website so people can get to it and find it real quick.
HawaiianKingdom.net.
Yes, HawaiianKingdom.net. That's the one that I linked to.
And, of course,
there's my article on Hawaii's loss of sovereignty. It's up in the top gray menu bar, right next to Pearl Harbor. So, Leon, I want to thank you very much for spending the entire hour with us. And as I said, this is an issue that I've been watching closely and supportive of for a very, very long time. And all I can say is I wish you a lot of luck. I know you're fighting an uphill battle because you're trying to be a very honest, ethical man in a world where it seems like the higher you go, the crookeder the politicians get. And it just seems to make it got to be very frustrating, and for you to have stuck with it for 18 years shows a huge, huge amount of courage.
Well, mahalo. And thank you so much for all of that you do, because, you know, I follow your posts and a remarkable amount of work that you do. So thank you so much.
And well, thank you.
You know, we're all moving in the same direction.
We absolutely are on that common road to the restoration of two republics. Anyway, Leon, thanks an awful lot. We've got to let you go here. We're at the end of the program. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here and share it with your friends. Talk to them face to face. Bring back the art of the conversation. Forget about social media. It's totally filtered right now. Please support Republic Broadcasting Network. They really, 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 we really need your help here. So we'll be back here tomorrow on Friday with the Lady Claire. And aloha, America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.